Welcome to the Meet Me Downstairs podcast. I'm your host, Britt, and I'm here to bring you some real-ass conversations about what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a mother, what it means to really just live in this world in female skin and feel empowered and educated and connected to our body. So the type of conversations that you're gonna hear are gonna be with a mixture of experts in the field of female existence and also real women, real mothers, just wanting to share a window into their world so that we can connect better. Remember, you're never alone. Your sisters are right here on the other end of your speaker, and you can always message us to connect deeper. So get ready to learn about yourself, to love yourself, and just embrace this experience. Pop in your headphones, turn up your speaker loud, and let's do the damn thing. Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to another episode. So happy to have you back as always. Before we get into all of the good stuff, just going to share quickly again with you all about my new service, Branding with Britt. That's Britt with one T, helping small business owners, entrepreneurs, and anyone with a passion and they want to get it out there and need a little bit of guidance along the way. I'm your gal. Head over to brandingwithbrit.com, check out all of my offerings, and book a free 20-minute consultation with me to see how we can work together and get your business to thrive. My goal is to help people to become the pilot of their own brands. Okay, so speaking of branding, I'm joined today by an amazing woman named Candace Borland, and I'm going to get into my connection with her a little bit in a moment, but I want to just sort of briefly touch on what we're talking about today, which is stereotypes, and especially stereotypes in the world of womanhood and business and motherhood and business. And, you know, when I think of stereotypes, I just think that the world is full of them, and most of which does society a disservice. You know, it's really all about finding places and boxes for everyone to go in for the sake of comfort. And moms and women, two massive categories of human beings, they get thrown into a lot of very tightly wound boxes. And frankly, we're fucking done with it. That's what I think. So as I mentioned today, I'm joined by this magnetic and epic woman, Candace Borland, who is 1 week away from becoming a mother herself, first time. And she's an incredibly successful woman in the world of business, being the president and partner of a renowned creative agency called Anomaly. And that is where we first met. I worked for Candace at Anomaly for almost 4 years and was in awe of her every day. She was my leader, my boss, a mentor, and a friend. And she's just such an amazingly kind human being. And so when I say that this episode is incredibly special for me, it really is. Being able to talk to her and connect with her about this now, you know, for so long it was about business and friendship, and now it's about motherhood, and we get to connect to that together. And it's an absolute honor. She is a go-getter. She's not afraid to break the mold. She is an anomaly herself, and it makes complete sense why she is running and leading this incredible business. So I wanted to actually talk to her before she had her baby and before she kind of really, you know, entered the reality of parenthood. And I wanted to talk to her about women and mothers in business and the pressures that she feels now pregnant, awaiting this new identity for herself, having to re-enter back into the workforce, and just sort of see how she's rewriting the rules for herself. And it's amazing. She has an incredibly wonderful mindset on it. It's so refreshing to hear her opinion and seeing what she's gone through to get to this place at the top, and how she is a beacon of light for other women and mothers out there. So this conversation inspired me greatly. I hope it does that for you. And let's do it. Let's get into this with Candace. Candace, thank you so much for joining me today. It's such a pleasure, like truly, to have this conversation with you, somebody that I've admired so much in the world of business, in the world of womanhood, and now getting to connect with you in the world of motherhood. That's like such an honor. And this conversation that we're going to talk about today is such an important one, and just not being afraid to get honest with the way that society has raised us as women and men, and to sort of dictate the quote unquote shoulds of our so-called roles, especially when it comes to career and motherhood. So
I am just so happy to be able to talk to you. And before we jump into everything, if you want to just give us like a quick intro of who you are, and then we can get into everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm really excited to be here, Britt. So fantastic to see you again and see everything that that you're doing and continue to do. So really looking forward to our chat. My name is Candace Borland. I'm currently a partner and president at Anomaly Toronto. I've been fortunate enough to be with Anomaly, which is a creative agency with a few offices around the world, since our founding in Canada about 8.5 years ago. Outside of Anomaly, I guess I'm a bit of an entrepreneur. I'm actually just a farm girl. I grew up on a farm in southwestern Quebec, but you know, in addition to pursuing a career in marketing and call it communications or advertising, the last 15 years, I also have some entrepreneurial ventures with my family. They run a dairy and a cow shoe beef farm, export in livestock genetics. So I get a bit of a side hustle that's completely different, that I feel really fortunate about. And then just engage in a few other things to try to be a good global citizen.
But awesome. And you're expecting a baby.
I am. I think I'm still shocked.
When we were just talking on Instagram, just randomly about, you know, pregnancy, motherhood, career, and I didn't know you were pregnant at the time, and you kind of were just like, you could probably guess why I'm like so passionate about this topic. And I was like, are you pregnant? And then here we go. And I thought it would be cool to do this podcast with you pregnant. So like not actually fully in that role. You're already a mother, but I mean, not having that physical baby here with you yet, just to sort of like get a feel of what your thought process is like as you head into this world, knowing your focus of business being such a huge part of your past before. And so being so successful and having that background in career, I just am so curious about the emotions that you kind of felt as you were thinking about motherhood. Was it something that you always wanted? Were you hesitant to take that step? Like, did getting pregnant totally shift the way that you think? Or yeah, just walk me through that kind of process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it was definitely that. It was definitely a process. I wouldn't say that I consciously prioritized career and prioritized business and consciously put something else aside. I would just say, you know, and I hope that all women feel the freedom to do this. I just was pursuing my passions, you know, so was fortunate enough to, you know, go through, get a university education, then pursue the things that I was interested in. Like I said, I was still working in the agriculture industry. I was exploring marketing and experiential marketing and, you know, advertising and trying to find my way there. And I've just always been really passionate. My parents were entrepreneurs, really passionate about the work I was doing. And so I, you know, then organically 10 years ago, met my husband. We decided to get married 5 or 6 years ago. And same thing, like, you know, we didn't consciously put it aside. We were just busy doing other things and we love to travel and we love our friends. You know, I suppose at a certain point, it definitely becomes a conversation. But I think for me and for us, it was more like, you know, when I'd reached a certain point in my career, probably one that I didn't think I would ever reach, I realized I wanted another challenge. I could take something else on, you know, maybe I'd matured and felt like I did have something else to give because, you know, quite honestly, we, you know, 10 years ago, we probably weren't talking about a family at all, even right after we got married. But then in the last couple of years, you know, it became a conversation. And I think it was as much, you know, proving to myself that I could take on that challenge as well, like add another challenge, add something else. That made me feel like confident and interested in doing it.
I like that. I like that it wasn't putting something aside. You were just sort of like flowing with your life. Because I think there can be so much pressure around that decision, whereas it seems like you removed that and things just naturally happened. And I think that's a nice thing to be able to do, because sometimes when you put yourself in blocks, and I think society has done that a bit, being like, this is your block, this is where you live if you're choosing the path of being a businesswoman or a career woman. But having sort of like the inner thought process or the inner awareness, just be like, actually, this is just not where I'm at right now, but maybe later on, which is really special.
Well, and I think that's interesting too, right? Because, you know, that was my journey and those were decisions that I made But there was a lot of talk and there were a lot of narratives swirling around me, you know, and I do think even as women, we really have to watch how we speak to other women, you know, because right after we got married, the immediate question, are you going to have kids? And then, you know, you're saying, well, it's not really on our radar right now. And well, but do you want them because you won't be able to have them? But, you know, so there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of maybe half truths that we tell ourselves, a lot of scare tactics, and then labels that other people put on you. You know, I don't know that I would have called myself a career woman, but other people called me a career woman mm-hmm. and assumed and would say, well, your career is your baby. Like, no, my right. career is my career.
Yes.
What are you talking about? So I think, you know, like to your point, people almost have to like justify or compartmentalize when they see women living in a way that they see as untraditional. Mm-hmm. And I think we just really have to watch that. And we need to give women the freedom to make their decisions in their time as they want to and not feel any pressures. Like, I think, you know, now we know even with age, you know, there are scientific ways around that to, you know, help ensure that, you know, you still have options, and so on and so forth. So I think, yeah, you know, we tried to stay really true to our feelings. I never wanted to make a decision, you know, out of fear of not being able to make a different one later on. I wanted to make the decision, based on what we wanted to do, at any given time in our lives. So we did have to sort of dismiss a lot of commentary along the way.
Yeah. And I mean, that sort of like leads into my next question really well, just talking about the stereotypes and the different things that we label other people or that we hear all the time. And, you know, men sort of getting glorified for having the career and the kids and women being more penalized for having it. Oh, well, if she works and is a mother, something's going to get dropped. Like, she's not going to be able to do it all. And when I was sort of like doing research for our conversation, there was just so many crazy stats that I was like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe this is a thing that's happening, that, you know, women's earning power decreases by about 4% per child, whereas men's just increase over time, no matter how many children that they have. And it was just sort of this like alarming realization that even though we, yes, as a society have come very far, there's still a lot of people and employers and businesses and the way that we work that are seeing traditional roles. So men being the breadwinner and women being the caregiver. And I just wonder, like, all those things that you kind of talking about it, doing it in your own process, but did that affect the way that you feel now that you are actually pregnant?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. I think we're, to your point, it's like, regardless of what we know and our beliefs are, you know, our conscious beliefs are, and the things, the information we've taken in and the decisions we've made, we are shaped by the narratives we hear in the society that we live in, and what we hear around us, like all those narratives I was talking about having to dismiss. One thing that I had observed previously and felt motivated to change to the extent I can in my, you know, little microcosm, but I find really disappointing. And I think as a society, we have to have an awareness of, so that we can change, is, you know, to your point, my observation was that, one of my many observations was that for a male, for the most part, becoming a father is additive. Oh, wow, look at him. He's an entrepreneur, an athlete, a this, a that, a homeowner, and a father now. How does he do it? Like, that's amazing. But for a female, they can be all those things. I could be an entrepreneur and a thing and a thing. But the narrative I hear is when they become a parent, it replaces, you know, it's like, oh, she's a mother. It's mother first. And then they might say, and she also does this. And, you know, so luckily we're hearing a little bit of that more and more, but I think we have to be really careful. I think the assumption is that, and who knows what in our history has informed this or programmed us this way, but the assumption is that there's a complete change of priority when a woman decides to have a child. When a woman decides to have a child, her priority is now, again, this is observed through my personal circumstance, that she has decided to be a mother and let these things move to the side. And again, I just think that's really disappointing. I don't think we should generalize. I think that we should look at the individual. You know, again, I'm naively on this side of the door that will become a wall behind me when I have a child soon. But, you know, I don't anticipate loving my career any less than I do right now. Loving what I do, loving my team, you know, loving the creative process, those other pursuits. So it's actually like the full life that we have that makes me want to add another individual to that, because I feel like we have a lot to give and we have a lot to teach. But it's really my hope that it's additive, mm-hmm. doesn't replace. It's not, oh, well, she's a mother now. Like that would not be a fair or honest observation. But I think we do that as a society quite a lot. So I think becoming pregnant, I, of course, you know, you, as you lay awake with pregnancy insomnia, some of those things start to creep in, but I'm just committed to, you know, be living a very different way, you know? And so hopefully, regardless of what others say, people observe something very different.
And with that mindset, which is amazing, do you find, or do you feel like there's like a little bit of self-inflicted pressure to like prove that you can do this in this enlightened way?
I don't know if there's self-inflicted pressure. Yeah. You know, I think if anything, there's eagerness to change the narrative, mm-hmm. to change the general narrative in society. Yeah. But I don't know that I'm inflicting pressure on myself. I feel like the way I will actually live will be very different. Yeah. But I also acknowledge that, you know, for all parents, it comes with a whole host of work. You know, there's going to be a lot of increased demands. Mm-hmm. So just preparing, you know, preparing ourselves for that as well.
Yeah. I would say, like, just from my experience, having a different kind of job and like starting my own business where I am and having a 16-month-old now, I definitely put pressure on myself to be able to do it all. And what I think happens if I just look at the roles of me versus, you know, my child's father, it's different what we've had, like what he takes on and what I take on. And this could be a little bit like my fault of feeling like, but I have to do everything. Like I need to do everything. It's just, I have to like check myself and watch myself, because I don't feel like I don't have any time, because I want to make sure that I'm a present mother and that I'm doing everything. And I feel like I'm having a role in raising my child, but also that I'm raising my own career and putting my own passions in play and not feeling like I'm dropping the ball. And what's happening mm-hmm. is I feel like I'm dropping the ball on myself, and like my relationship with myself is taking a much like a greater backseat than I ever like had imagined coming into motherhood, which is, it's been quite an eye opener for me, and an area of stress, which I'm trying, as 2021 has come up, I chose, like every year I choose a word, like an intention that I want to live by. And I pick the word flow, because I feel like I'm not letting myself flow into each of the roles. I'm trying to be like, perfect in this one, I'm perfect in this one, I'm perfect in this one. And so that's just something that I've noticed, trying to do kind of everything, is just mm-hmm. realizing that there has to be some give and take, there has to be some level of flow in each of my quote unquote roles that I have or that I've dictated for myself in order to feel full or satiated in my life as a person. So that's been like a big learning for me. I'm not there yet, but
you know,
yeah.
You know, what's interesting, I think when you talk about, do I feel the pressure to, you know, probably prove myself in both areas and prove that I can do it all. I don't know if it's pressure or guilt or what you want to call it, mm-hmm. but I have felt, and it will be interesting probably to talk to me, you know, 3-4 months after, you know, planning for the next several months of my life. I plan to return to work after three or four months. And I actually feel pressured by people surrounding me to take more time. It's, you know, so it'll be interesting once human arrives on Earth, but you know, my conscious decision. And I was thinking through, you know, what I know at this point and how comfortable I am stepping away from a company that I lead, and how much I'll miss it and like miss the day to day and the people and, you know, want to be involved. And looking at the calendar year, I had sort of said, you know, I think about 4 months later, I'll look to reintegrate into work. And again, it's more female voices and voices that are surrounding me first assume that I can't take any longer, but, you know, and of course in Canada, we're very fortunate that you can take 12 to 18 months of parental leave. And so, you know, so I think that that's probably far more the norm. So they assume that I can. And then when they hear that I can, they all tell me that I will want longer. So again, I think when you talk about pressure, so then I would start to question myself and feel funny about why I don't want to take longer.
Yeah.
So we need to be careful just about like letting women make their own decision. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, perhaps everyone tells me, like they used to when they were, you know, asking when we would have children, that my choices will change, that I'll want to take longer, that I will end up taking longer. I think we as women, you know, society at large, but also we as women, because we should be supporting each other first and foremost, need to stop putting words in women's mouths.
Yeah.
Let them make their own decisions, support them in their own decisions. You know, if a woman wants to go back to work after 3 months because she does and she's ready and she feels good, that's no reflection of how she feels about like the stage of life she's in or her child. If she wants to take 18 months or stop working and raise her children, amazing, you know, but we should just hold the commentary and support women. So I'd say that's maybe the pressure I felt.
Yeah. Are there any, well, I think it's hard because I feel like women in a way have had to fight so hard to get to even this place where they can do both and it feel good. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's like this weird protective area of like it's coming from a good place, but what the word, like the words and the language that we're using is not always actually encouraging. It's more like, but you're still putting me in a box. Like you're still putting me in a box of, well, if I come back even 2 weeks later that I don't love my child or I don't love being a mother or all of these things. And so, yeah, it's definitely, I think a lot of it is the language and the intention are not lining up. Because really it's like, but I actually do care about you and I want you to feel like you have this time, but the way I'm saying it is not reflective of that. So
that's
something that I certainly check myself on that, especially coming into this world of creating a podcast that's supporting women in all shapes and forms and mothers in all shapes and forms. I'm noticing that the intention is loving, but it's just how it comes across isn't always in the best way. And I do agree with you that it's women, like, yes, of course, society has a big role to play, but we as women have a big role to play in making sure that empowerment is felt across all the board. So, you know, beyond that, how else do you feel like we as women can kind of just like squash the stereotypes that surround motherhood and career?
Oh my gosh, great question. This might be more valuable in a couple of years also. But I do think we have to watch some of the language that we use, and we have to, I think it's an issue in society at large, but let's start with women because we can be the pioneers, because we'll also be acutely aware of it and we're so invested in it. We need to just watch generalizations, not at my current place of work, but I've certainly experienced it in my career where you will, you know, I've noticed you'll watch someone, imagine someone's leaving at 5 o'clock from an office building. Said person could be leaving to teach a yoga class, could be leaving to play rec hockey. But if they're a mother leaving to pick up a child from daycare, think about the statement and the intonation in people's voices and their opinions, depending on which of those three it is.
Yeah.
If you're going to night school, if you're going, you know, I think we just need to be really cautious and conscious about how we, you know, talk about women in the workplace, talk about professional women. I do think, you know, just another large thing, this isn't on women alone, but that we can do to change the perception of women in the workplace, you know, start to really make progress in gender roles and parenting. And it's something that actually Anomaly put into place a couple years ago, but a lot of workplaces are, is just shared parental leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
it's a huge thing.
you know, provide the same opportunity for a father or a non-birthing parent and a birthing parent to, you know, to take that time off. And I do think that that's like, that's changing, and with it, the perception is changing. Because I think men, you know, suffered with their perceptions at work too, even when it, you know, was initially allowed or permitted, you know, what people would think about them. But as that becomes more common, it will level the playing field a bit. I think we just need to normalize a lot of it, you know, normalize the language around it. And I think the biggest thing is recognizing that, you know, all people, most people have interests, passions, commitments, things in their lives outside of the workplace. And I think we need to stop judging specifically motherhood mm-hmm. as that pursuit so harshly and yeah. so differently, you know, as a pursuit outside of work versus everything else. Yes, it's incredibly time consuming. So is running a second business. And a lot of people do that.
Flipping it to say as well that it's okay to also have passions, interests and stuff like that outside of motherhood as well as
yes.
outside of work. Because sometimes yeah. that can be a thing too, you know, like even wanting to go and do the yoga and going to do the stuff like that and leaving your home and leaving your child in order to do that, where it might be more internalized, but still that feeling that comes up.
Yeah. And I think you're right. You're so right on that point. And then also, you know, consciously recognizing, and I think this is the change I talk about a little bit, like so many women are passionate about their careers. Mm-hmm. When they have children, it doesn't mean that that goes away.
Yeah.
Just because they have obligations outside of work as well, and they still have some of the same interests outside of work, it doesn't mean that their passion for their career has changed, that they want to be there any less just because they have some other demands on their lives. So I think like just an acute awareness of that, of any judgments we're making, of any language we use will help immensely.
Yeah. And one thing that I feel like, I mean, as you get in, I'm sure you've already had like so much unsolicited advice that just comes up and that happens. It never stops. But I feel like not that this is advice, but more I find it's a really emotional time, the first 3 months of motherhood. And that, who am I kidding? The first friggin' 16 months, here I am, and I'm like still all over the place. But the first three in particular are a lot. And that has a lot to do with just the hormonal stuff that happens in our body as we come down. But to be easy and like forgiving and patient with your emotions, because it can feel trying sometimes to be able to fulfill the passion of being a mother and the passion of being, you know, in your work and in your job. And for when you have those moments and those mental feelings that come up and the thoughts inside your head, to just sort of be like, okay, I see you, I feel you. This doesn't have to change everything, but let me just work through what I'm feeling right now versus letting it then shift your entire narrative on, oh, fuck, mm-hmm. well, maybe I can't do it all, or maybe I do mm-hmm. have to give something. It's just like, oh, wait, let me just take a second to sit with this uncomfort for a moment, and then we kind of move from there, because there's just so much of that comes when you're then experiencing sleep deprivation, and if you're breastfeeding, like the physical demand on your body, and then having to also do the demands that you may love, but also come with leading a company and all those kinds of things. So it's just like bringing in an even more acute awareness of patience with yourself as you move through the different processes of motherhood and everything else and career and everything else that you have going on.
That's really good. Yeah. Patience and forgiveness mm-hmm. and understanding and giving yourself a break. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Curious, just like taking mother outside of it and looking at where you have come in the world of business. Are there or were there different challenges that you kind of experienced just being a woman getting to the place that you are now?
Yeah, I'd say certainly. It's interesting because I have worked in a lot of industries that would traditionally, or at least in the past, be considered male dominant, you know, working in the agricultural industry.
Oh yeah, especially.
Being raised in I'll call it in the agricultural industry, and, you know, alongside my dad and my family in that business. In a lot of ways, I think that helped and paved the way and, you know, set me up for success, that I worked alongside a lot of men mm-hmm. and, you know, luckily both with my mother's involvement in the industry and with, you know, my dad sort of giving me free rein, I felt like empowered to be in those places. I could certainly tell that I was one of a few, mm-hmm. And that women were treated differently, but I felt like I had every right to be there and be my best and, you know, be talented. And then, you know, definitely, like, I think one of the reasons I've been at this company for so long and it's been so refreshing is I do feel like it's perhaps the first place where, you know, I would walk into an internal review expecting to hear, you know, some feedback and what I could work on and focus on in the year ahead. And just every single time, without having to make a case for it, without having to ask or express it, your commitment and work and you know, talent were acknowledged and you were proactively promoted, which I think, you know, certainly in my past and for a lot of women isn't always the case. Like, we have a tendency to not advocate for ourselves. You put your head down and you do a phenomenal job, but often that's overlooked. So I think in the past in my career, I've certainly worked at places where, you know, leadership was all one gender, you know, where I would look around and not see a lot of senior female uplines, like the see it, be it principal. Luckily, I had examples outside of those workplaces that I was in. So certainly experienced discrepancies, certainly felt like I probably had to work twice as hard as my male counterparts, that even if my work product was every bit as good or superior, I wasn't looked at as a leader in the same way. So I have experienced all of that in my career, you know, again, luckily found a place that's very different and I get to help shape the culture there. And I do believe it's changing and is continuing to change, which gives me a lot of hope for, you know, the next generation. A lot of younger people who are coming into the industry now will never experience the types of things I did 15, 20 years ago. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's really powerful. It's so beautiful to hear. Yeah. What would you sort of say, like, advice or just little words of wisdom from just your experience and then now coming into motherhood as well, those who are sort of struggling to find their place in the world of motherhood and career, or simply just as a woman in business?
I mean, I think you will always be most successful at something you're incredibly passionate about, you know, so find that and chase it. You know, it should be encouraging as well to know that, you know, people are looking, others are looking, people who report into you are looking, and you're making a difference and you're inspiring someone. You know, if you are at a place where you're observing things that don't feel right, especially in 2021, make sure to raise that and voice it, because you can create change. And if you find yourself in a place where you have to repeatedly raising your hand and trying to help an organization become more aware, if they aren't making changes, find a place that's a better fit for you. And I mean, I will say I've worked quite hard in my career, but don't be afraid of hard work either, because I always looked at it as getting double the experience of anyone else. You know, if I was working a longer week, it's actually, you know, more time, more education, more experience in the bank. So not to sweat that so much. It will pay off in the long run.
Love that.
maybe not as much. Maybe there wasn't as much there for mothers just yet.
But I think it all applies.
Yeah. And then for mothers, I would just say, be confident. You have every, you know, certainly, like, I'm fortunate enough to have a number of mothers who, well, all parents, but a number of mothers now that work at our organization, and like, they are valued and talented and treasured. And I just, you know, I would hope every woman would walk in and feel so confident that, you know, no one's thinking anything else about them or their commitment. So keep pursuing what they love.
Yeah, love it. And somebody who used to work with you at Anomaly, I feel like I can just be like, check, 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 you guys. You know, that was one thing that I appreciated so much as a company, just the way that you guys not only uplifted women, but just all of your employees and the different things that you would do as a cultural place to make sure that, you know, we had all the different wine meetings for the girls to hear about other people who have been successful and broken down barriers for themselves. And you're just always looking for ways to show success, whether, you know, and taking the hierarchy out of it, because sometimes you can feel like, oh, you're only successful if you reach this peak of your career, but you know, not at all. You can do anything. Yeah. And if you feel that love and feel that passion, then that's success. So that's really special. So thank you for doing that and continuing to lead that organization. And even more so, you'll have a whole new learning as you become a mother, and it'll just make it, you know, continue to just grow it even further, which is really special.
I think my hope for, you know, my hope for all professional, you know, all professional women, all, you know, all mothers, even parents, and certainly, you know, something I've repeated as a mantra to myself as we go into this next stage is, I'm definitely stealing, I think it's from Glennon Doyle's book. In the past, mothers have really been martyrs. Mm-hmm. And you talked about that a lot as well, as giving up some of your passions and giving up, some, not finding the time for yourself. My hope for all of us as we raise our children and, you know, look at the outside world and inspire people as professionals is that we would see ourselves and aspire to be models or mentors far more than martyrs. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, you might deep down worry that you're doing your child a disservice, but I would argue that if it's martyrdom, you might be doing your child a disservice that way as well. So, so hopefully I think that's a huge societal shift that I hope we see when it comes to sort of motherhood and parenting as we go forward.
Absolutely. And then shifting gears just a little bit, how has it being pregnant during a pandemic?
I mean, I guess this is my only experience, but interesting, certainly interesting. I think, you know, we talked a lot about how we've made this decision and felt really empowered. I think, you know, maybe far more of the like moments of questioning and lonely moments and self-doubt came as a result of the pandemic. Because I think, you know, as a professional woman who loves my job and the travel that's involved with it and loves traveling with my husband and is social and loves seeing my friends, a lot of the things that I was concerned about losing, that society and the bad voices tell you you're going to lose as you become a mother, that freedom, that independence, your friends, your all went away as a result of COVID.
Isn't that amazing? Wow. I never even thought about it like that.
Yeah. So basically if you'd played out the worst case scenario that most women might be concerned about, how their life would change with a baby, like literally not being able to leave the house or see anyone or do anything fun, that's, you know, happened. Which would never happen in real life actually mm-hmm. happened. So I think, you know, there were a lot of mental battles, reminding myself that it had nothing to do with pregnancy. This wasn't going to be a future with a child, but everything to do with current circumstance. And then we're meant to do this communally. You want support of women, you want support of family. There are a lot of questions, as you know, during pregnancy, and there hasn't been that access to healthcare while they're all, oh my goodness, doing their best. It's different and it's limited and there's less face-to-face interaction. So it's been tough. It's felt really isolating, but just trying to keep the awareness of it to keep my head above it. And then of course there's all the things that go along with the pandemic as well that they don't know. Yeah. You don't know about the disease in pregnancy, but luckily, I mean, we'd been playing it quite safe anyway. So,
and you also experienced hyperemesis in your pregnancy, which is quite rare, but very, very intense. And how's that been?
It's so funny. I think, you know, maybe a month before we found out we were pregnant, we'd watched Amy Schumer's her stand up, and the thing that was associated with, like, I think it was called Expecting Amy, and the 3-part stand up where she documents like having a hyperemesis. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching that and quickly Googling and being like, what is this? Seeing that only 1% of people have it, feeling immediately relieved and going, oh, okay, never mind. And then lo and behold, what are the chances? We like to joke that, you know, we got pregnant in 2020. What else did we expect?
Yeah,
I mean, of course, right? You're going to have the brutal form of pregnancy. But that's been really difficult. You know me quite well too, Britt, as someone who's looked after their health and likes to be fit, and mm-hmm. to then all of a sudden feel incapacitated and like you don't have any control over your body. Yeah. And you just can't keep it healthy. You can't keep it healthy. You can't keep it hydrated. You like lost far more weight than you know, I ever have in my life. At one point, I think I was down over 10% of my body weight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was dark. Like that was really difficult and really dark. I think eventually you just had to surrender to it and try to have peace with the fact that you know, it's not permanent, but because it is also, you know, it's not for a lot of people, it goes away after the first trimester. I wasn't one of those lucky people. Yeah. You just have to try to find different ways to stay up. And it's, yeah, it's a real test. It still is a real test of endurance. And I that's something like hyperemesis. Wow. You know, the fact that I was 38, had no idea it existed, you know, and then you see in Amy Schumer's documentary that, you know, probably in our grandmother's generation in the 50s, they put women who had it in psychiatric homes and let them vomit all over themselves because they thought they were doing it for attention. Would have liked to have seen someone try to do that to me.
Oh my God.
They would have lost an eye, but
or their lives.
yeah, exactly. But we just need more awareness of these things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, not many people, we don't talk about what pregnancy feels like. We don't talk about how exhausting a normal, healthy pregnancy is. So yeah, it's definitely something that, like, I hope gets more medical research in the future.
Absolutely.
And then, yeah, more awareness and support and understanding for the women who have that or some form, acute form of nausea and vomiting.
Yeah, it's the whole thing. I mean, I had nausea. I didn't vomit, but I had nausea for 19 weeks. And that was... Mm-hmm. That was crazy. That was so intense, let alone then having to vomit or losing weight or doing all of these things in addition to the crazy changes that your body's already going through with pregnancy. And then not knowing all of this stuff. That's been like my biggest light bulb since becoming a mother is just, and starting this podcast, just being like, women need this information. Like, all of this stuff should be taught in school. Like, we should know this stuff by the time that we are having our first period, like knowing even what our first period is about. What does the cycle look like? All these different things that we just haven't been educated on. And yeah, it's time to change that. The world has to change. Women need to be given this information as if it were, which it is, crucial to their life.
I mean, the number of the number of women I have told about, or I've, you know, eventually had to tell about my condition. We've had multiple babies and had never heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no one, I mean, I know why we don't want to talk about it. It's awful, but there's no one low awareness of a lot of these things.
Yeah.
So they definitely need to be talked about more, because then they'll also get support and funding, and hopefully in the longer term, there'll be more solutions.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I'm sure there's people out there who are going to listen and be like, oh, finally, someone kind of talking about it a little bit.
Standing with any of the women who have HG, it is no joke. I mean, luckily, I'm a person of faith, so I stood on that a lot, just for like peace and comfort. And but you have to find something else. You know, in addition to, we were in the hospital most weekends for rehydration, or I was, because it's COVID, so my husband has never been allowed to come to an appointment. But tough times when you have to look forward to a weekend to go get rehydrated for 48 hours. It is really difficult. It takes a lot of mental and emotional fortitude. So saying a prayer for all those women who are dealing with it.
Absolutely. And then you just kind of touched on there, just, you know, your husband not actually coming into any of the appointments. Have the rules shifted for birth?
So for birth at this point in Canada, he will be allowed in the room, we believe, unless things change again. But we will, as far as we know, you're only allowed one support person. So in my case, it'll be my husband, and we both have to wear masks the entire time.
Yeah. What a daunting thought. How are you feeling about that?
I'm trying to get more comfortable with it since it's inevitable. I do have a doula, so I definitely wish my doula could be there. I'm disappointed that I can't have that support, you know, in the room that day. Yeah. I think we're just all trying to wrap our heads around it. I mean, I can't imagine. I've worn a mask, such a terrible parallel, but I've worn a mask like we're on a treadmill, we're on an exercise bike, and I can hardly manage it, you know, and doing that, I'm thinking I might have to do this for 24 hours. So that's a little bit intimidating, but again, it is what it is, I suppose.
And it will just happen. Like, at the end of the day, you will find women are the strongest beings in the whole world, and you will be able to do it and be able to kick ass, and your birth will be your birth, and it will be magical no matter the circumstance. So kind of spoiling to do encouragement.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'll keep you posted.
Oh gosh. And then my last question, I always ask this to every guest, is really the premise of this podcast began and has evolved, but as a way to honor the woman within the mother or the woman within herself, beyond mm-hmm. children. And a lot of that has to do with self-care and something that I preach and something that I myself struggle with, and realizing how hard it is to actually do those small things to care for yourself. But how has your approach been to self-care? So how do you sort of like honor the woman within you?
I think during pregnancy and during COVID, I'll admit that I've struggled with it, and also with the hyperemesis, because I think, you know, in my past life or in a different world where we're not all dealing with the global pandemic, I just honor the things that I'm passionate about. And I love the outdoors, and I love exploring, and I love traveling. I know it's the one way I really fill myself. So, you know, I make time for that. We have very busy schedules, but I just make time for that. And we carve it out, and we, you know, put a couple trips in the calendar that, you know, I can really look forward to and have an experience and make memories every year. So that's been a struggle in the past year when that hasn't been available. And then same thing with, you know, some alone time, but time with friends, like time with really good friends, just, yeah. you know, set aside. And whether we're, you know, sometimes at a spa and very consciously trying to like pamper ourselves or look after our health, or just hanging out or going on a trip together, I set aside time with like the women I'm really close to, and who we really empower each other. So again, remove both those things for this year. I've definitely stayed close to my best friends and tried to speak to them virtually a lot. Everybody needs support. We're all going through a different journey right now, pregnant or not. So I think, you know, that's typically it. And then through pregnancy, I think just knowing my body is going through so much, I've tried to make allowances for it. Like I said, I used to be incredibly fit. I was really committed to fitness. On the days when I can't do that now, I do not. I don't push my body any harder. And I've tried to consciously, like the little things that you can do when you're stay-at-home order in a global pandemic, like mm-hmm. even if it's a bath in the morning, or, you know, more quiet time reading, or a face mask, a little yoga class, a prenatal massage. Like I've tried to be more conscious about I'm being so depleted. Like I want to try to physically look after myself where I can.
Mm-hmm. I think that kind of covers it. We talked about so much. I'm so grateful. And so I would just leave it with you. If there's anything that you want to share, like about yourself or what you have going on, or any last like little pieces, feel free to do that now. And then we can just close off.
Yeah, I think it was a fantastic conversation. Such great questions. Thank you. Yeah, that's about it for me. And it's definitely easier facing this next sort of metamorphosis, knowing that there have been so many incredible women that have gone before me that you can get inspired by and take inspiration from. So that would be yourself included, Britt. And yeah, hopefully I remain this optimistic when it's all actually happened.
Well, you will. And in even the moments where you're feeling low, just know that it's temporary. Everything is temporary, and the low are important. They're just as valuable, if not sometimes more, than
lots of growth there.
Yep.
Think of all the growth we'll all have after 2020.
Oh my gosh, we're going to be the best people.
People are like, so enlightened.
So enlightened. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. What a special honor for me. Like just it being you that I get to have this conversation with, that just takes it to another level. So thanks so much for doing this with me.
Not at all. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you so much for listening in. As always, if you enjoyed, leave us a review. It really supports our channel and it helps it to grow and let other people who might be interested in this stuff find us. And then also please just share it, subscribe, love it, whatever it is that you guys do to keep supporting. We appreciate it so much, and we will chat on the next episode.